This time we're inviting you to stand for the reading of the gospel. Where Jesus prays for his disciples and for the world. Beginning at the middle of verse 2, John's Gospel chapter 17, verse 1 rather. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I've made your name known to those whom you have given me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I'm asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them, and now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, so that they may be one as we are one. The gospel of Christ for the people of God. You may be seated for the next line of the hymn.
Let's turn to the hymn number 454, verse 2, as we prepare our hearts and our minds for God's word this morning.
Open my eyes that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine.
Friends, for those who might be wondering, I'm preaching this morning because Reverend Bob is absent, but I am also preaching because he's away. And I have no doubt that His Spirit is with us this morning. And I also want to think that many people will be asking, as he might be asking, how was the sermon when I was away? And I want to share with a similar experience with someone who was substituting for the pastor. And the pastor who was away, when he returned, he asked the substitute, how was the message? He said, well, I must be honest with you. I believe that the message was comforting because I observed that some of the folk were sleeping. And on second thought, I thought it was moving because I saw people walking out. And he said, finally, I think the sermon was satisfactory because those who left have not returned. Friends, I hope my sermon will not be comforting, moving, nor satisfactory. But I did ask Pastor Bob if I have to preach the same sermon as I preached at the 8:30 service. He said yes. Well, the good thing about that, those who might not have heard in the first service will hear in the second. And those who might have been asleep in the first will be awake in the second. So this morning, as I share with you God's message through the prayer of Jesus, he said in John's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 22, the glory that you have given me, I have given them so that they may be one as we are one. Jesus continues to pray for us. Let us pray. How blessed is this hour, Lord Jesus, when we can hear again your words to us through a prayer. Come now and bless us in a significant way. Convict us, Lord, and convert us and consecrate us now until we are wholly thine. Amen. Recently, Pastor Bob gave us a series of messages based on the Lord's Prayer. Today, the focus will be on Jesus' intercessory prayer as read from John's Gospel, chapter 17. This is indeed an all-embracing prayer. A prayer of intercession for the self, for himself, for his disciples, and for the world. And it reminds me, unlike the gentleman who prayed, Lord, I come to you tonight, not in greed, but in my need. I come to you praying for myself and my wife. My son and his wife, we four are no more. Amen. That's a selfish prayer. Our God in Jesus Christ was praying for himself, for his disciples, and for the world at large. Jesus emptied himself of all but his love for the world. And as Jesus prayed for himself, he demonstrated his perfect obedience to his heavenly Father when he said, I have finished the work that you gave me to do. Here Jesus was awaiting his glorification. Coincidentally, the Apostle Paul expressed himself in similar words. In his letter to Timothy, at the end of his earthly, toward the end of his earthly journey, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Jesus kept the faith and his loyalty to his Heavenly Father and to his disciples. Jesus not only prayed for himself, but he prayed for his disciples. He was concerned for them. Jesus was concerned for his disciples because of the challenges and the opposition and the hostility that they had to face, especially from the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was concerned for their spiritual strength in the face of opposition to the gospel. Jesus was praying for the defenders of the faith. Jesus was praying for the offenders of the faith. In Jesus' teaching, it was new. And it was a type of teaching that was questionable according to the standards of the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus' teaching was somewhat paradoxical. Loving your enemies, doing good to those who hate you, blessing those who curse you and say all manner of evil things about you. How could you be doing that? It's hard to love your friends sometimes, much more to go beyond that, to love your enemies. But this was Jesus' teaching, and if we are going to be followers of Christ, then this is what we are expected to do. So friends, let us remember that when we are at our weakest, Jesus is at his strongest. When we are at our worst, God is at his best. Jesus not only prayed for himself and prayed for his disciples, but he prayed for the world. Jesus' prayer was one of exclusion, not one of exclusion, one of inclusion, not of exclusion. It was all-embracing and intercessory prayer. He was interceding on behalf of the world, people of the world, the least, the simplest, to the greatest. Jesus included all of us. The little chorus says, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Today, Jesus continues to pray for the universal church. He continues to pray for us, all of us, that we may be a true reflection of love and unity, as he is and was with his Heavenly Father. So the recurring theme throughout the Gospel of John chapter 17 is a plea for oneness, for unity, for a coming together of all his people. And friends, on this journey in the ministry, I've seen many things. As Brother Bob included in his welcome, that I served churches in the Caribbean, in New York, in Indiana, in West Virginia, and here in Georgia. I've seen many things, and I've learned many lessons. And among the lessons that I've learned is that politics divide us. And on the other hand, religion confuse us. I say politics divide us because I've seen folk, people of faith, pledging their loyalty to political party over their loyalty to Christ. Now I've experienced confusion in the doctrines and the teachings of some religious faith. So I'm saying that religion confuses us. But I take comfort in the fact that Christ Jesus unites us. Today, Jesus continues to pray for the world church. History reminds us that there was widespread segregation in our Methodist churches throughout this land in the 18th and 19th centuries. And Jesus was praying for oneness in a particular church, St. George's Church in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania. There was so much discrimination and unholy practices of segregation that it broke the spirit of the true believers in that congregation. Consequently, pastors Richard Allen and Abe Jones relinquished their loyalty and membership in that church. And they left and went on a mission to establish the African Methodist Episcopal Church. Jesus was praying for the church, and he continued to pray for the church when on the 23rd of April, 1968, a special conference was convened, a special conference of the Methodist Church was convened in Dallas, Texas, where the Evangelical Union Brethren Church and the Christian Methodist Episcopal Church came together to form the United Methodist Church. We have come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. So our church is not a very old church. The United Methodist Church is not a very old church. Next year it will be celebrating its 50th anniversary. And as I said to the congregation this morning, I look forward to going back to West Virginia to celebrate with them the 50th anniversary of our United Methodist Church, of which I have a membership. You know, I went to one congregation and they asked that my wife Sue was being transferred into membership. And the pastor said, "Why not you?" He said, "Remember how it goes with the Methodist Church. Like John Wesley, the world is my parish. I'm a member of the United Methodist Church, not a particular congregation." So friends, remember that. And so today, as we come in the presence of the Lord on this Memorial Sunday, I want to engage us in a little exercise. I want for you to put your right hand or left hand up, turn it toward you, whether you have manicured fingers or otherwise. As if it is an act of thanksgiving for this hand. Say a prayer to your hand. Give thanks to God for your hand. I am thinking that we go beyond this. And I want for you to identify each finger as a member of a family. And each finger has a special part to play. But I'm going to have you identify each in a special way. Your thumb, the nearest one to you, right? So because it is the nearest one to you, when you pray again, even as Jesus is praying for us, pray for those nearest to you, members of your family. And secondly, there is the index finger. What it does, it points. Pray for your teachers. It identifies with teachers, instructors, guidance counselor, or anyone. Those who give guidance. Then thirdly, this is the big one, the tallest one, the strongest one. So what it means is that you're going to pray for the leaders of your land. I was saying in Britain, they have a queen. We have a president here. Other countries, a prime minister. Remember your leaders. Then this ring finger. Ethan, you don't have a ring on your finger? Not yet, okay. But the ring finger, it's the weakest of the family. The weakest member of the family. It's the weakest finger, to think of it. It needs the support of the others. So pray for the aging persons in your family and the society, the church family, and the community. Pray for the sick and the aging. And then the little ones, you call it your pinky finger, okay? Pray for the children, the little ones. So don't forget now. And silently, let us pause for a moment as we pray together, quietly, silently. So, Lord, we thank you for all your gifts to us, for the ability to use our hands. As the song says, take my hands and let them be, proclaiming your message straight from you. So as we continue this morning, have you ever heard your names mentioned in a prayer? I was sharing in a prayer fellowship once, and there was a particular lady in that company, and she said, it felt so good to hear my name mentioned in a prayer. And I was saying to someone, we had a prayer vigil at First United Methodist Church in Monroe, and I wrote on a card, someone who submitted a prayer, I said, we are whispering your name in our prayers. And I received another card of appreciation. First time I heard my name mentioned in a prayer. Here in this church community, we are sharing in the spirit of oneness. It doesn't matter how we approach our God in worship. It may be through the pulsating sounds of drums and guitars and cymbals. It could be through the inspirational, soothing music of the organ. Our God hears our prayers. And he's praying with us and for us. In the great hymn, The Church is One Foundation, there's a verse that says, elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. Friends, here at Loganville First, Jesus continues to pray for us, and Jesus continues to love us as if there is only one of us. He continues to pray for this body of believers And we'd always strive, he wants us to be a striving, loving community that exemplifies his teachings. Our unity amidst our diversity, amidst our differences in ethnicity, should be a manifestation of the fulfillment of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. A Christian writer, Harlan Coben, published a novel titled Hold Tight and Hang Loose. Hold tight to Christ and get loose of yourself. Loosen yourselves from your selfishness and hold on in faith to our Lord Jesus Christ. Hold on to God. This can be equated to the world's catching phrase that says, let go and let God. Let God have his way in your life. Jesus held on to his Heavenly Father, held on to his trust in his Heavenly Father. And so, it's not a myth. It's not words of imagination, but words of inspiration, words of testimony, when we can sing with significance and great meaning, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Friends, Jesus prayed for the church. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed for himself. He prays now for the world, and he's praying for us. He's praying with us, and he's praying for all of us. Let us stay tuned to our Lord Jesus Christ. As the chorus says, whisper a prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at noon, whisper a prayer in the evening to keep your hearts in tune. Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening. Let us keep our hearts in tune. Jesus prayed for us. He's praying for us, and he will pray for us. May he have his way in your life today. And if there are others in this company today in need of prayer, as I shared the chorus with members of the choir this morning, it's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. For those of us who are in need of prayer, the altar is open for God's leading this morning. If you feel so led for anyone to intercede, Brother Kong or myself, please feel free to kneel at the altar as God speaks to you this morning. Amen.
And the closing hymn this morning, hymn of commitment this morning, is 370, Victory in Jesus. As you've just heard, you are invited as you stand in the need of prayers. Would you stand if you're able, and let's celebrate and claim this victory that we have in Jesus Christ.
My my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of the cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love. He plunged me to victory beneath.